Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Muhammad Citizen online edition dated Thursday, January 2nd, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the first article. It's headlined, Muhammad Seymour School Leaders Want to Hear from Community. Leaders at Muhammad Seymour Schools want to hear more from the community and what residents seek from their district on topics ranging from considerations of diversity to resource use, and more. A request for proposals, RFP, related to the Muhammad Seymour School District's Community Engagement Initiative is under consideration by the Board of Education. Superintendent Lindsay Hall presented a first draft of the RFP to the school board at its December 16th meeting. Board members requested this document after their December 3rd special meeting to discuss community engagement. As stated in the RFP first draft, the purpose of this request for proposals, RFP, is to solicit proposals from qualified firms to guide and partner with the Muhammad Seymour CUSD No. 3 Board of Education through a community engagement process. As the district goes through changes due to the growth of the community and the school district, and needs of our students, families, and community are continually evolving and changing, the Board of Education has a desire to hear from and listen to our stakeholders. The long-term goal is for the Community Engagement Initiative to inform a long-term strategic plan as well as become an ingrained part of the culture of our organization. In discussing the RFP draft, Board Member Colleen Schultz questioned if partnering with an outside entity is needed to gather community input. I still am for us trying to do this ourselves before we hire someone, she said. Schultz said if the district does hire an organization to assist in the community engagement process, Muhammad Seymour School leaders should be sure that full data collected is turned over to the district for its use. Board Member Megan Hennessy agreed, saying members need word-for-word responses from community members if an outside firm helps in the process. What's the mechanism for the feedback? And then how is that delivered to us? And I want to make sure that this is something we will own and be able to obtain in its entirety at the end of the process, she said. Hall said she envisions that any proposal received by the district should include the interested parties' planned methods, including turning over data to Muhammad Seymour leaders. Board members and Hall agreed that multiple meetings with the public and more than just one attempt and method of contact with community members should be employed to gather as much feedback as possible as part of the initiative. Board Member Jeremy Henricks chimed in, echoing Hennessy's interest in knowing any firm's method for gathering input. Hennessy also said, I'd like to understand their approach for determining what the data points actually are. What are the topics, and how are they going to help us drill down to those topics, she added. In the RFP draft, Hall also writes, The Board of Education has identified the following reasons why it is important to carry out and sustain a community engagement initiative. To build trust, listen, obtain meaningful feedback, engage in and maintain two-way communication and engagement, thus making it part of our district's culture, create/sustain a sense of ownership, to inform a strategic plan, to provide a venue for our community to learn more about the school district. Goals for Muhammad Seymour for this project are stated as follows. The Board of Education has identified the following as desired outcomes of this initiative. Create an opportunity to listen and learn. Jointly develop a board/community vision/strategic plan for the future that is reflective of an alignment of values between board, staff, and community. Coordination of resources for a strategic plan. A process to support BOE/community interaction, ensuring that diverse voices are heard. an assessment of expectations from stakeholders, as well as learning about possible areas of improvements and areas of strength. School Board Member Merle Giles, Secretary of the Board of Education, said the district must keep control over the process, even if it uses an outside firm for assistance. I think we should retain the ability to co-develop the questionnaire, he said, and I think it would be perfectly appropriate to put that second bullet point that our expectations are that there would be more than one community meeting. Giles noted that proposals won't represent the final contract. The RP is get somebody in the door, and then we can continue to work that out with that additional information, he said. Hennessy said she wants to be confident that the RFP is complete to give any interested organizations a full picture of what the district seeks. I just want to make sure that as we're sending this out, we're sending out a comprehensive request. The next article is headlined, Returning the Favor, Recipient of Aid Happy to Help Others. Around 25 years ago, Ron Estes was on the receiving end of a Christmas food basket, the meaning of which had a lasting impact on him. This year, the 46-year-old Philo man wanted to show his own daughters and the other 4-H children he leads that being a cheerful giver to those who have hit a rough patch can feel just as good as being on the receiving end. My dad was a self-employed builder, and he got sick, and we didn't have an income, Estes recalled. I was college age, and I dropped out of school and worked. After around Christmas, the Fishertown cop and one of the guys who worked for the city showed up at our door and handed us a basket of food. Full of food. It was a total surprise. It was emotional, very emotional. In my mind, we weren't that bad off, but obviously someone in the community felt like we could use a hand, Estes said. For more than 30 years, the Lodge has delivered to folks who need a hand enough feed to feed a family all day on Christmas. Included in the Lodge's membership are active and retired deputies and officers from the Champaign and Ford County Sheriff's Offices and the Paxton, Gibson City, University of Illinois, Mahomet, and Rantoul Police Departments. There are also a handful of Champaign police officers in the Lodge. We are the benevolent side of the FOP, said John Wright, a U of I police officer who is the current FOP Illini Lodge President. There's labor that does contracts and discipline issues. We are the officers trying to engage with the community, give back to the community, and build the relationships between working officers and community members. Estes, a father of two who now works in the agriculture industry, said he always remembered that kindness and wanted to somehow repay it. Through his friendship with Bill Ward, a Mahomet police officer, school resource officer for Mahomet Seymour School District, and FOP treasurer who lives just outside Philo, Estes decided this would be the year. Earlier this month, he invited Ward to speak to the children in the Philo 4-H Friends that he leads about the annual food basket project. Estes shared with the children, ranging in age from 8 to 18, his own experience. I told the kids that sometimes people go through a rough patch in life and they just need a little something extra, Estes said. I told them that this was an important thing to me and why. I said, sometimes you do things in life without any expectation of getting something back, any gratitude or credit. You may see someone you know and they may be going through a rough patch and you just don't talk about it. The result of that talk is that 11 families from the 4-H group agreed to help distribute 15 boxes of food to folks in the southern part of Champaign County. Estes' wife, Kelly, a 4-H Clover Buds leader, and her daughters, Kaylee, 9, and Ashley, 6, wanted to be a part of the effort. At 5:30 a.m. Friday, December 20th, about 20 volunteers began assembling 370 boxes of food. Baskets sounds nicer. At Value Check on Glen Park Drive in Champaign, then loaded them onto trailers for distribution later. Wright said store manager Andrew Burwell has worked with the FOP for years to keep the food prices low and to give the volunteers the space to pack them early on the appointed distribution day. "We're all back there in his warehouse. We're in the way," Wright said of the happy work. The ingredients include ham, eggs, milk, rolls, green beans, carrots, celery, potatoes, bananas, jello, bread, and cookies. "We're thinking breakfast, dinner, and a leftover sandwich. Basically, Christmas, you're going to eat well." Our next article is headlined, "Village of Mahomet Trustees Nicks Cannabis Sales Establishments." A fledgling new business dubbed Company Coffee and Wine got a green light from Mahomet's Board of Trustees on Tuesday night at their regular meeting. The vote to amend the village liquor code to allow some alcohol sales at the planned establishment in West Park Plaza on Main Street downtown was unanimous, with Trustee Brian Metzger absent. Also Tuesday, trustees agreed, without comment, to ban businesses that sell adult-use recreational cannabis within village limits. On the marijuana issue, village leaders previously sought residents' input on multiple occasions regarding the new Illinois law that will allow adults to use cannabis for recreation as of January 1st. Although some people spoke on both sides of the issue, trustees ultimately decided against welcoming the substance into the community on a sales basis. In October, trustees held a public meeting seeking input on the cannabis issue, but only one person attended. They did discuss the issue amongst themselves then. Village attorney Joe Chamley noted at that meeting that recreational use of marijuana for adults age 21 and older will be legal come January 1st. Adults will be able to smoke marijuana within the confines of their own homes, regardless of village action. The issues for the board to address were whether to allow its sale in Mahomet, whether to tax such sales if they were allowed, and zoning-related topics, whether and how to regulate the location of any proposed businesses that sell marijuana. "Basically, the cannabis law deals with cannabis regulation and taxes," said Patrick Brown, village administrator. "According to the new state law, current regulations prohibiting the smoking of tobacco in public places will apply to marijuana." At a November meeting, members of the public spoke both for and against allowing cannabis sales in Mahomet. Also at that meeting this week, trustees agreed to numerous rezoning classifications so that the use of land currently matches the zoning for it. They also approved an ordinance establishing building and maintenance codes, which staffers have worked on extensively. The board also agreed to a drug and alcohol policy that accommodates new cannabis law guidelines. And now let's take a few minutes looking in on the Mahomet Seymour athletes. Our first article is headlined, "Mahomet Seymour Wrestlers Placed Second." The Bulldogs wrestling squad placed second at the GCMS Junior Varsity Tournament. Every wrestler placed for Mahomet Seymour, and they had champions in four weight divisions. Caden Hatton took first place at the 106-pound weight category. Caleb Dowers placed first at 132. Brad Schoonover dominated at 138 and took home first place. And Mike Didier was the 220-pound champion. Four Bulldogs placed third. Adam Pilischowski earned a third-place finish at 113. Caden Grove placed third at 120. Ryan Richardson was third at 132. And Camden Harms made it to the semifinal bout before settling for third at 195 pounds. Zach Hammond capped off the strong day for the Bulldogs with a fourth-place finish at 220 pounds. And looking ahead, the MS varsity squad was scheduled to compete in the Granite City Red Schmidt Invitational on December 27th and December 28th. Our next article is headlined, Mohammed Seymour Volleyball Players Earn Recognition. After a 30-win season, the Mohammed Seymour volleyball team earned plenty of postseason recognition. MS senior setter Kayan Garner was named first-team All-Area by the News Gazette on Sunday. Garner was fourth in the area with 10.06 assists per game. Garner was a big reason why the Bulldogs won a Class 3A regional championship. I'm just very lucky to have a setter that's been working hard and understands the game, MS head coach Stan Bergman told the Mohammed Citizen. She has great maturity. Junior Ainsley Ranstead was a second-team all-area selection. Ranstead led the Bulldogs with 360 kills this season. She averaged over 4 kills per set, and her hitting percentage was a resounding .293. She wasn't just a one-trick pony. Ranstead had 194 digs this season, which was good for fourth on the team. She also racked up 26 blocks. Ranstead was also a monster in the biggest of games this season. In the regional championship match against Champaign Central, Ranstead finished with 19 kills and 4 digs. She was unstoppable. In the final 16 matches, Ranstead finished with at least six kills in each of the contests. Senior outside hitter Lauren Minnick was named honorable mention all-area. Minnick was second on the team with 223 kills and 235 digs. Minnick will graduate as one of the best players in the Apollo Conference for the last couple of years. Junior Josie Hess was also an honorable mention choice. Hess and Ranstead will undoubtedly lead the Bulldogs next season. Our next article is headlined, Mohammed Seymour's Aubrey Shore Headed to SEMO. Mohammed Seymour's softball star, Aubrey Shore, committed to Southeast Missouri State on December 14th. Blessed and excited to announce that I will be furthering my academic and athletic career at the University of Southeast Missouri State, Shore posted on Instagram. Thank you to all of my coaches and teammates who have helped me, and to my parents for making me the best athlete and person I can be. Go Red Hawks! Shore was a big reason why the MS softball team finished with 18 wins and a regional championship appearance in 2019. The sophomore was named All-Area First Team by the News Gazette and First Team All-Apollo Conference. It felt great, Shore told the Mohammed Citizen. There was a lot of pressure this year. I felt like people expected me to do better than last year. They didn't walk me like I thought they would. They were just pickier for what they threw at me. As a hitter, I had to almost take the walk while looking for my pitch. Shore finished with a superb .490 batting average, which was tops on the team. She also added 8 homers, 33 RBIs, and a team-high 48 runs scored. Shore was also the Bulldogs' ace, finishing with 10 wins and a team-high 105 and a third innings pitched. Shore's earned run average was 4.58, and she fanned 130 hitters. And now it's time to step away from the sports report and cover the obituaries of local and area interest. Stephen George Dunlap, 67, passed away Friday, December 13, 2019, in Melbourne, Florida. Steve was born June 23, 1952, in Flora to Charles and Thelma Bryant Dunlap. He grew up in Mohammed. After graduating from Mohammed Seymour High School, he joined the U.S. Army in 1970, serving in Vietnam, Korea, and Germany. He retired in 1991 as a sergeant major. He worked for DynCorp International as an aircraft maintenance production controller for over 20 years, working overseas in Guatemala and Colombia, South America. Steve retired to Florida in 2013. Steve is survived by his wife, Maria Avila Carvajal, daughters Kathy and Cheryl Dunlap, son Stephen Dunlap Jr., and 5 grandchildren. preceding him in death were his parents, two infant sons, Peter and Douglas Dunlap, and two brothers, Donald and Wayne Dunlap. Steve was a member of the VFW, American Legion, and United Methodist Church. A visitation was held Friday, December 20th, 2019, from 10 to 11 a.m., with a funeral service following at Life Event Center at Florida Memorial, 5950 South U.S. Route 1 in Rockledge, Florida. A graveside service was then at 2:30 p.m. at Cape Canaveral National Cemetery, MIMS, Florida. Donations may be made in Steve's memory to the VFW Post 8191 in Melbourne, Florida. Patricia R. Buck, 85, of Gifford, passed away Wednesday, December 18, 2019, at Amber Glen in Urbana. She was born November 30, 1934, in Gifford, a daughter of Frank Kelly and Elizabeth Clark Kelso. She married Tom Buck on November 6, 1952, in Penfield. He preceded her in death May 16, 2017. She's survived by a daughter, Sherry Reynolds of Urbana, three grandchildren, Ian Reynolds of Missouri, Courtney Robert Kosmanoff of Mahomet, and Michael Denise Reynolds of Gifford. She was preceded in death by her parents, two brothers, a sister, and her son, Steve Buck. Pat was a graduate of Rantoul Township High School. She was a bookkeeper at Hicks Gas in Gifford for over 35 years. She was a member of St. Lord's Catholic Church in Penfield. She and her husband, Tom, loved to travel to Florida in the winter. A funeral mass was at 11 a.m. Saturday, December 21st at St. Lawrence Catholic Church in Penfield, with a visitation in the St. Lawrence Hall at 10 before mass. Burial will follow in St. Lawrence Cemetery. Roy Edward Maul, 70, of Mahomet, passed away at 3:45 a.m. Tuesday, December 10th, 2019, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Roy was born August 11, 1949, in Illinois. He worked as both an educator and nurse during his 25-year career in the medical field. He is survived by his sister, Linda Anderson, son, Samuel Christie Maul, and grandchildren, Ella Hale and Skylar Maul. He was preceded in death by his father, Harvey Maul, mother, Dorothy Maul, Schaufman, brother, Rex Maul, and partner, James Bickell. A celebration of life was from noon to 3 p.m. Sunday, December 15th at the Elks Lake Pavilion at Lake of the Woods Forest Preserve in Mahomet. Condolences may be offered at owensfuneralhomes.com. And now, returning to our sports report, we have this article headline, Three Takeaways, Mahomet Seymour Wrestlers Off to Stellar Start with Future Looking Bright. Rob Ledden is at it again. The veteran Mahomet Seymour wrestling coach always manages to get the best out of his team every year. 2019-20 is no exception. The Bulldogs are a perfect 9-0. It's not a fluke either. MS hasn't gotten fat off of cupcakes. They've played some big-time programs. Here are three takeaways from the start. This is no surprise. Sometimes when teams get off to hot starts, many can believe it's just luck. This isn't the case for the Bulldogs. Last season, Ledden talked about how young his program was. They had just four seniors, which forced a lot of underclassmen to compete. That's paying off this year. 138-pound sophomore Logan Petro took lumps last year, but he's dishing them out this season. He had three big-time victories at the Bloomington Duels. Sophomore Braden Heinold had a huge pin in a comeback victory over Triad. The Bulldogs certainly have a chance at every single weight class. They're not just relying on Seth Buchanan and Gage Grenadino to carry the team. That speaks to Ledden's ability to develop a program. The 9-0 start is no surprise. It'll be fun to see just how far the Bulldogs can go. The Bulldogs have 13 freshmen on the team, and many of them have made contributions. None have been better than Mateo Casillas. Casillas had 11 pins in three pins in Bloomington, which was a big reason why the Bulldogs went undefeated. He had no problems with the transition from junior high to varsity. Colton Crowley has also made a difference. His older brother, Hunter, was one of the best wrestlers in MS history. Hunter graduated in 2017 and set a single-season wins record, 53, and earned a second-place finish at state. Colton seems on the fast track to being a difference maker, too. Theo Ratliff is another freshman who has earned some varsity playing time. The other freshmen have done big-time work at the junior varsity levels, too, but getting contributions from freshmen speaks to the developmental program that MS has at the lower levels. James Heinold and the coaching staff at the Muhammad Seymour Junior High do a terrific job. And Layden also has a role in staying in touch with the junior high and helping prepare them for his program. The Bulldogs will only go as far as their stars take them. They have a ton of depth, but the cream needs to rise to the top. It's done just that in the early going. Senior 285-pound pounder Seth Buchanan is wrestling as a man possessed. Buchanan has racked up pin after pin and looks highly motivated to get to state this year. Gage Grenadino has had pins in two straight matches, and Daniel Renshaw has certainly rounded into form. Chance Decker is one of the most experienced Bulldogs, and he's won a lot during his career. Decker's contributions will be huge moving forward. The young guys have exceeded expectations in the early going, but the key to the 9-0 start has been that the Bulldogs' top wrestlers haven't taken a step back. Our next article is headlined, Three Takeaways, Muhammad Seymour Girls Getting Into Groove. The Bulldogs have won two in a row and sit at 5-4 overall as they head into Christmas breaks. Nathan Seal has to be pleased with his team's toughness and grit. The schedule will get tough after Christmas, but MS looks like a squad that could be built for a bright future. Here are three takeaways from the Bulldogs' winning streak. Michaela Rosenberry provides big lift. Nicole Taylor has led the Bulldogs in scoring and rebounding for the first month of the season, but the Bulldogs found a way to defeat Lincoln on the road without a big game from their sophomore star. That's really a good sign for the future. Michaela Rosenberry has as high of a upside as anyone on the roster. She can absolutely stroke it from outside, and she's so long and impactful on the defensive end. When she's dialed in, Rosenberry could be the best player on the team. Played like it against Lincoln last Saturday. She scored 20 points thanks to four threes. Taylor and Rosenberry can form a heck of an inside and outside presence. Taylor might not have had her offense going, but she dished out six assists in the win over Rantoul. That unselfish play could carry the Bulldogs far. Taylor is one of the most dominant players in the Apollo Conference, but she needs help. The Bulldogs supplied it this week thanks to big-time efforts from Rosenberry. And finally, freshman Durbin Thomas has really stood out. She's earned a spot in the starting lineup, and she has no intention of giving it up anytime soon. Thomas had 7 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists against Lincoln. She added 6 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 steals against Rantoul. 15 rebounds in 2 games is awfully impressive for a 5'3" point guard. Thomas and Kayla Kerner are starting to form a backcourt that could get really scary in a couple of years. This has been the online edition of the Muhammad Seymour Citizen, dated January 2nd, 2020. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.